This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on Talk Louisiana, we will visit with Democratic political consultant Trey Orso and Republican activist Daryl Glasper, former Metro Councilman in East Baton Rouge Parish. They will talk about the prospective federal government shutdown as well as Louisiana's fiscal cliff and allegations that President Trump used an LLC to funnel $130,000 in hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels, the former Stephanie Clifford, who grew up right here in Baton Rouge, graduate of Scotlandville Magnet High School, class of 1997. Also, Advocate Bureau Chief Mark Ballard on today's deadline set by Governor John Bel Edwards to receive a GOP budget plan from the Republican-dominated legislature. What's going on at the Capitol? And of course, there are other bills unrelated to the budget, believe it or not, that are in the hopper as well. We'll talk about it with Mark Ballard. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your numbers are 877-217-5757 and 297-5633. The email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We begin today with two men on opposite sides of the political spectrum, Trey Orso, the Democratic political consultant, former executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party, is with us. And Trey is just back after winning a Senate race in Alabama. He was involved in the bid to defeat Roy Moore, and that happened with Doug Jones, a Democrat, winning in a solidly red state in the U.S. Senate. Today, of course, we have a vote potentially that could avert a government shutdown, but it's not looking real rosy on Capitol Hill right now. And Daryl Glasper is with us, and Daryl is now a longtime Republican after being elected many years ago as a Democrat to the East Baton Rouge Metro Council. And he has become a player on the national scene with close ties to the controversial Steve Bannon. So we should have a lively discussion. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757 is the number wherever you are, locally 297-5633 in Baton Rouge. And you can always send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And later in the hour, we're slated to hear from Advocate Bureau Chief Mark Ballard, who covers the Capitol. Let's begin with Trey Orso about, let's start with Alabama. Certainly a shocking development there with a Democrat winning in a solidly red state, a state even more red than Louisiana. How did it happen?
Well, thank you and good morning. It's good to be here again, Jim, and good morning to you, Daryl. Well, obviously, you know, Roy Moore was a flawed candidate even before all of the child molestation accusations came out during the campaign. You know, he's just an extreme person with some very extreme views. He had twice been removed from the Alabama Supreme Court for failing to follow the Constitution, and just has some horrific views on social issues, and so the Republican Party was really split to begin with in Alabama, and so that helped. Doug Jones, on the other hand, was really kind of interesting. You know, he is a former prosecutor, had been appointed U.S. attorney by President Clinton, and had he came in and actually prosecuted two men who were former KKK members who were responsible for the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing back in the 1960s during the civil rights struggles. But
still a close race.
Yeah, and the thing about it was Doug Jones didn't necessarily run as some huge social conservative as you think a Democrat might in Alabama. Our polling showed it really close before the molestation charges came out, and it stayed that way the whole time. We, you know, in those big races like that with big budgets, we have lots of polling and tracking and analytics and stuff, and it just stayed nip and tuck the whole time. And so, you know, enough people just decided that they just couldn't take Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate.
Well, Roy Moore was, of course, close, and I suspect still is close to Steve Bannon, who Daryl Glasper has a association with, and he is with us. Daryl is. Daryl, tomorrow marks 1 year of the presidency, the 1 year anniversary of Donald John Trump being taking the oath of office as the 45th American president. Does this loss in Alabama mean something moving forward, or is it just a blip that will go away quickly?
Well, yeah, good morning, Jim, and to your listeners and to Trey, and congratulations on a great race. I think it's a blip, and I think Trey may agree or may not agree with me, but I think it's a blip that's going to go away simply because Alabama's a red state, but you had a flawed candidate. And the determination was all of the accusations of the sexual harassment, especially the ages of those young women that allegedly that Roy Moore was pursuing. And like anything else, a woman is going to protect her family. White women voters in Alabama decided that they were going to not support him. And you also had individuals, the write-in campaign. It was 22,000, which could have been the turning point of that race. But look, you know, races are made up of individuals and their backgrounds and their character. And I think Trey can tell you that. It was a flawed candidate. It was a split in the Republican Party. Trey nailed it. And you can't win with a house divided. But I think it's a blip that's going to go away unless I'll make – Jim, you know, I was in your studio, and you asked me what you thought. And I tell you, I didn't think the guy could win. I did not want to just say that he was not going to win. But I wasn't as confident as I was about other Republicans in these races where I know these people and know their background.
All right. President Trump will reportedly not head to his posh Florida resort today if lawmakers can't avert the looming government shutdown set to take effect at midnight. The president had been planning to spend the weekend at Mar-a-Lago for the one-year anniversary of his inauguration and is hosting a fundraiser tomorrow night, a soiree with $100,000 tickets. So the president's trying to twist some arms, and we've been down this road before with other presidents, Trey or so. What do you make of this looming government shutdown?
Well, I mean, it's very unusual to have a government shutdown, especially when one party controls the White House and both houses of Congress, as the Republicans now do. You know, that they seem to be having a hard enough time getting their own members all on the same page. The House passed a resolution last night, and the Senate, of course, adjourned till 11 o'clock this morning. You know, when President Trump was campaigning, he said he was going to be the ultimate deal maker and make the best deals and the biggest deals, and we would get tired of winning. And so maybe it's a good idea that he didn't go down to play golf this weekend and decided to stay in D.C. until he could figure out a way to make a deal and win something.
Daryl, do you think the president will be blamed if there is a government shutdown?
Listen to me. You know, and one thing about Jim, I've said over the many times I've appeared on your show, you know, guys just flap their mouth sometimes that you hear a lot of this talk on TV, and they don't understand the political process. The President of the United States is from the executive branch. He knows what he wants to do, but you have to work along with both sides of the aisle, both the House and the Senate. Now, let me just tell you, I don't want to surprise you, but I hope there is a shutdown. Let me tell you why I like to see a shutdown. I like to see him shut the government down and keep it shut down as long as they can until the public throw all these son of a guns out that can't get along. When these items don't affect them, they have problems. And Trey is in politics. He understands what I'm saying. Look, everybody's up there. They got politics running through their veins, man. I was a politician. I was inside. I understand how it works. Look, there's never been a situation in the continental United States of America where the United States Congress would shut down a government because someone is doing something illegal. The African-American community, man, and I've said it over and over and over again, they're in such an abusive relationship where you have black politicians going along with the Democratic Party because they want to protect DACA. My friends are saying, what about BLACA? They're talking about the dreamers. What about the strugglers? And I'm hearing it. And I think Trey will agree with me, and he may not. African Americans are sitting back, and they're watching their politicians making fools out themselves because no one is talking about their housing or their education, about the criminal element that's going on in the community. So I want to say this to you. The president, you can take him for granted. As a former athlete, anytime your opponent takes you for granted, you whip him. And this is what's been going on in Washington, D.C. with the economy and with the many laws that this guy has done. Now, I'll end by saying this. Apple, $358 billion, not million, billion, with a $38 billion tax liability going to the government. That's not bad.
All right. Well, the president is benefiting, as are the American people, from a robust economy. Trey Orso, is that Donald Trump's doing? Is it the doing of his predecessor, a combination? How do you see it?
Well, I mean...
Or none of the above.
Well, I saw a poll yesterday that said 58% of Americans give credit for the good economy to President Obama. I don't think that President Trump's done anything yet to hurt the economy. Sounds like
we're going to take a break, but today, with looming fiscal shutdown of the federal government, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 27 points, but that's a very small percentage, and we'll see what happens the rest of the day, and we'll talk more with Trey Orso and Daryl Glasper, and the Trump story has a Baton Rouge connection. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. 297-5633 in Baton Rouge. And you can email us to talk@talklouisiana.org. And we'll go to the phone lines in just a moment. But as often is the case, the presidency of Donald John Trump, on the eve of his one-year anniversary, has a Baton Rouge connection, a woman named Stephanie Clifford, who was born in Baton Rouge on St. Patrick's Day of 1979, is better known as Stormy Daniels, an adult film star who's in the news. And surprisingly, the entity that is reporting this is the Wall Street Journal, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and on its editorial pages has been a fervent supporter of the president. The story from the Wall Street Journal: President Donald Trump's lawyer used a private Delaware company to pay a former adult film star $130,000 in return for her agreeing to not publicly discuss an alleged sexual encounter with Mr. Trump, according to corporate records and people familiar with the matter. The lawyer, Michael Cohen, established Essential Consultants, LLC, on October 17, 2016, just before the 2016 presidential election. This is according to corporate documents, which show the date. So it is a story that appears to be relevant and have credence. And we'll talk with Trey and Daryl about this. Trey Orso led Gumbo Pack in 2015, the entity that went after Senator David Vitter with quite a vengeance, and was successful. And because of that, Trey Orso, who is in studio with us, was named Political Consultant of the Year nationally by his peers. This story about Stormy Daniels, I think back to Gary Hart 30 years ago. He left the race for president after it was revealed that he had a consensual relationship with a New Orleans native, Donna Rice, that was on the monkey business in Bimini with Billy Broadhurst, a Louisiana Politico, right in the middle of it. But that was a consensual relationship, and this is obviously another consensual relationship, it appears, but it does involve an adult film star, and this does, the time period is consistent when Mr. Trump was married to his current wife, his third bride, Melania. So, Trey Orso, is this going to matter, or is this just a non-story? What do you think about whether or not this story will have some effect on the presidency of Donald Trump?
I'm not sure if it was consensual or transactional, or maybe both, but
probably both if it's accurate.
I mean, I think back, tomorrow marks 1 year. When I think of the first year of Donald Trump's presidency, the one word that comes to mind for me is just exhausting. I mean, the whole year has been exhausting. Nearly every day, something else either comes out about this president, or he says something, or does something, or tweets something that just, I mean, if you really follow him and his presidency, it's exhausting. And this, if the date you just cited out of the Wall Street Journal, just think about it in the context of what's going on. 2.5 weeks before the American people went to vote for president of the United States, while Trump is having these huge rallies around the country with the people waving those snake, don't tread on me, those yellow snake flags, and lock her up, and these big rallies and all this stuff, and crooked Hillary, his personal lawyer is setting up a shell company in Delaware to pay an adult actress $130 $130,000 hush money to remain silent about a sexual affair 2 weeks before the election.
All right,
Derek. That doesn't even make the front page, because this guy every day is something.
All right, well, Daryl, is this relevant, or is this just another attack on Donald Trump?
Noise. It's all noise.
And there's so much.
Okay, well, let him talk.
No, I'm just saying I'm not going to get into debate and argument, because listen to me, Jim. You know, one thing about me, I think people have been knowing me for a very long time. I have my thoughts. It's all noise. Let me tell you why it's noise. It's not relevant to us, man. That's relevant between him and his wife. It's relevant between him and his wife. Whatever they decided they want to do, that's his business. But our business is policies and regulations that affect people every day. And when you look at the corporations across America who are bringing back money from overseas, $53 billion. You know, look, the problem is that the media is trying to beat up on a guy that they don't like. I personally didn't like Barack Obama, because Barack Obama didn't do a damn thing for African Americans in this country. It's documented. You know, dogs, I can just go on and on.
All right, well, we're talking about President Trump right now.
But listen to me. I'm going to make the correlation. Every day, Donald Trump is speaking directly to America, and it is infuriating people, because he don't have to go to the media and have the media twist what he's saying every day.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, Mr. Glasper, do you have any information to refute the noise that your friend Steve Bannon was telling to Mike Wolf, or what the Wall Street Journal is now saying about Trump and his family?
All right. Is Bannon disloyal to the president?
No, I don't think Bannon is disloyal to the president. Let me just say this to you. You know, Jim, you don't make comments about stuff you're not involved in, you're not know. Look, My relationship with Steve Bannon is with the group out of Washington, D.C. that deal with African-American business people. And you've seen it live on my Facebook page. Bannon was a guest, and I was there. I've met and spoken to the guy, took pictures with him. You know it. And let me tell you, because he wanted to put America first. His personal politics with people in Washington, D.C. don't have a damn thing to do with Daryl Glasper.
All right, Trey.
Does anybody think Donald Trump wants to put America first or Donald Trump first? I mean, everything he does revolves around himself. I mean, I don't believe for one second he's worried about America or Pittsburgh or any. I mean, it is Donald Trump all the time. He's using us for his own reality TV show. I mean, it's ridiculous.
David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on the air with Daryl and Trey.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me tell you why Mr. Glasper, what he said a moment ago, he's absolutely incorrect and did wrong. Everything the president does, the American people should be concerned with. The president could possibly be subject to blackmail because of all these numerous affairs that his lawyer is trying to cover up. We don't know that these women don't have compromising videos and other information on the president that could go into the hands of foreign agents and subject to the United States to blackmail. And Mr. Glasper, I assume you're a Republican. What could President Obama done to help African-American people that your party, the Republican Party, would have supported President Obama in so doing. Could you give us at least one example?
Daryl Glasper, you stated earlier that you thought President Obama failed in helping African-Americans. Well, could he have done better with the help of the Republican Party?
Jim, look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. That's all I'm going to say. Numbers don't lie. And look here, let me tell you. I know these guys don't like them. Let me tell you something so you know. And that's why I like to come on here. You know what Trump is doing? He's toying with you all. He's toying with you. You know why? He's moving ahead, getting his agenda done, and he's toying with them, with you all. But let me say this to you. There are a lot of Republicans that are looking at numbers. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think his numbers are 39 to 40%, you're fooling yourself.
Well, he only had 46. He only had 46%, Daryl, when he won the election.
Well, let me say this to you. They're throwing out these
well, Daryl, what do you polls. Think they are?
Well, I think his numbers are.
Yeah.
It's in the high 40s, where they were from the beginning. Look, Trey, you know this. If you call somebody, they're not gonna be open as you and I. I mean, we're in politics. But let me just tell you something. So you know, we have 4 years of the misery that is going to go with the Democratic Party. And look, Hillary's history. Hillary was the worst candidate. She was worse than Roy Moore.
877-217-5757 or 297-5633. We'll spend some more time with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Daryl on the right, former Metro Councilman for East Baton Rouge Parish, now a prominent GOP activist here and in the Beltway. And Trey Orso, National Political Consultant of the Year a year ago, and a Democrat who isn't high on Donald Trump. Back after the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Trey Orso on the left, Daryl Glasper on the right. Also talked some state politics with the fiscal cliff in the offing in 5 months if something doesn't happen. But right now, most of the focus is on Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump tomorrow will celebrate his one-year anniversary as the leader of the free world. 877-217-5757 for Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, you know, there are those wonderful, truthful numbers, you know, that are not fake facts. And the facts are that millions of more people voted against Donald Trump and voted for him. Tomorrow there are going to be millions and millions of Americans and American women marching against this moron.
All right. Why do you think that Donald Trump is not vulnerable right now, Daryl Glasper?
I mean, I don't see how he's vulnerable right now when he has 3 years to go. I mean, you know, listen to me. They need, and I said it over and over again, you need to relax and just enjoy the ride, because the resistance, I don't see how this man's still standing when he's fighting. I mean, everybody in the country, from the media to just every political pundit, all the individuals on the left who want to protect everything bad for this country, when the guy's going to put America first.
John in Livingston. Hello, John. You're on the air with Daryl and Trey. Hi, John.
Hello. I just kind of have a comment. I was listening to Mr. Glasper, and he says numbers don't lie. And then with his next breath, he says the polls that show Trump at 30-some-odd percent aren't accurate. And those are numbers. Curious why he would think those are lies after saying numbers don't lie.
All right. Well, there were some polls showing that Hillary Clinton would win the election. But, Daryl, go ahead.
Hey, I just like to say this. You know what? The reason why I said the numbers don't lie, they were saying that the polling number, he couldn't become president of the United States to see what happened on election day. So that's it.
All right. Well, Trey, the polls are not looking good for this president, but Daryl's right. He won't be up for reelection until 2020, almost 3 years away. But there is an election this year for Congress. How do you see that one evolving? Or do Democrats have a chance to win the Senate and the House this year?
Well, they do. Back in November, Democrats picked up a bunch of seats. But for a coin toss, they would have picked up the House of Delegates in Virginia. They picked up seats in Oklahoma, very red state. It was really pretty amazing. It's all a backlash against President Trump. We talked about it already in December, picked up a United States Senate seat in, you know, the most reliable of Republican states, Alabama. You're seeing a flood of Republican resignations in Congress right now because a lot of these people can see the writing on the wall of what's coming down the pike here for the 2018 elections. Look, things change, and we all know that politics ebb and flow. But right now, the Republicans are facing a really big headwind, and most of that has to do with people being dissatisfied with Trump. And I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the president went to Pittsburgh and delivered a speech about the economy and his tax cut bill. For the most part, he stayed on script. And I'll tell you, you know, it was a very effective speech. If he could discipline himself and do more of that, he would have a better chance of some sort of survival. But just the constant controversy, I mean, now that's not to do with all the investigations and Russia mm-hmm. and this whole, you know, other stuff. But I mean, you know, he's just so erratic and is so wild, and people can only take so much of it, you know.
Here in Louisiana, I don't think any of the Republican congressmen are vulnerable right now, despite the president's problems. And there's no Republican on Capitol Hill criticizing the president. The senators are in his corner. The five members of the House who are GOP members, they're not saying anything about Donald Trump other than kind words. Does that surprise you?
Because they're in a bind in other states where you have party primaries. The Republican members of Congress that would have to run in a primary. Trump's only real solid base of support right now is among hardcore Republican voters, Republican primary voters. So you have Republican members of Congress who know that if they come out and speak openly against the president, they run the risk of Darryl's buddy, Mr. Bannon over there, trying to find a candidate to primary them. And so they're in a box, you know, they don't want to speak out against him. They're worried about getting primaried, but they can't really speak out too much for him because they know that moderate independent voters are dissatisfied with him right now.
877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in with Trey Orso and Darryl Glasper, locally in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. And you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Allie, let's go back. David on Harold's Ferry. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Trey and Darryl. Hi, David.
Good morning, Jim. What I'd like to ask him, you know, with the new tax cuts that are supposedly coming down the pipe, do you think it's time for Governor Edwards to call for a constitutional convention to restructure in Louisiana?
All right. That's obviously a local issue. The governor says at this point he has no desire to do that, but is that a potential panacea to the budget issues we're having in Louisiana?
There's been talk about that for years. The problem with it is that it doesn't do anything to solve the immediate problem that we have right now. The immediate problem that the state faces right now is that when Governor Edwards took over, mm-hmm. we were facing a $2 billion budget deficit that Jindal left. To deal with that deficit, the legislature passed a temporary penny sales tax. The legislature decided that penny would expire on June 30th of 2018, which, as we all know, is in a little less than mm-hmm. 6 months, because they were going to do long-term structural budget and tax reform. The legislature has chosen not to do that. So if they don't replace all or a significant portion of that revenue that's going to roll off the books on June 30th, we're going to be faced with about $1 billion budget deficit. A constitutional convention can't happen fast enough to fix that.
Owusu and Baker. Owusu, you're on Talk Louisiana with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso. Hi, Owusu.
Yes, good morning, Jim, and to your guests. I just took taken issue with a few of the comments of Mr. Glasper. First of all, he said that in the Alabama election, white women stepped up to the plate because they, in terms of protection from the daughters, et cetera, when in fact all categories of white voters, including white women, the majority of those voted for Moore. And if it was only the strong support in the African-American community, and a lot of that on their own dime, in terms of the ads, et cetera, that caused that to come about.
All right. Thank you, Owusu. Daryl Glasper, does Owusu have a point?
Well, let me tell you the point he has. The point he has is that Doug Moore stood up and thanked the black community, and 30 seconds later said, I want the people in Washington to know that I'm just not going to vote 100% with the Democratic Party. Now let me say this. Once again, numbers don't lie. White Republican women helped Doug Jones to get elected because they were protecting their families. It is a fact. All of my good Republican friends who deal with politics in Alabama said we are in trouble with white female women because of these accusations. Now, you may want to look at it any other way you want to, but let me say it to you, Jim. And, you know, I always, you want me to make a prediction. I make predictions, and I haven't missed one yet. Let me tell you what the Democrat Party is the biggest problem is going to be. It is that a lot of independents are going to start replacing some of these Democrats that have not done anything for the black community.
I was just going to say, Daryl's right to a degree. I would say that more white Republican women voted for Jones than typically would vote for a Democrat in a normal election in Alabama. However, I saw some analysis yesterday that said that African Americans made up 30% of the electorate on December 12th, which is higher than it was.
Actual percentage in Alabama.
Yeah, it's only, I believe, like 22%. That's higher than it was when President Obama was on the ballot. It was a historic turnout by percentage of African-American voters. So your caller was absolutely right there.
Is John Bel Edwards on his way to reelection, or is he facing a distinct challenge, Trey?
Well, I mean, you know, we're about halfway through the first term, and the governor is working really hard trying to right the ship and get the state headed in the right direction. I think that he's in a good spot, and I think the people of Louisiana appreciate the fact that he's working hard and he's on the job and he's being honest with them, and he's in a good position. But of course, you know, he's getting prepared, and we're not
all
sure
right, well,
who the opponent would be, but whoever it is, you know, he's prepared for it.
Daryl, is our governor going to be reelected, or is he going to be unseated by a Republican?
Jim, I don't have a feel for it, and I mean that. I really don't have a feel, because you're looking at a guy who beat a United States senator, and he beat him handily, once again, with the help of the Republican Party. So you don't know what type of inroads that this governor has made with individuals with the Republican Party. I remember when I went against Mary Landrieu and when she was running for re-election against Dr. Cassidy. People said,
all right, we've got to take a break, but we will return with Daryl Glasper and Trey Orso and hear from Mark Ballard. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Coming in just a moment, we'll hear from Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, newspaper of record in Louisiana. We're wrapping it up with Daryl Glasper, Republican, and Trey Orso, Democrat, and we are looking at a governor's election, believe it or not, in a year and 9 months, and so far no announced candidates against John Bel Edwards, who won with 56% of the votes in 2015 over David Bruce Vitter. 877-217-5757 as we wrap it up with Trey and Daryl. Trey, I was surprised that Daryl did not predict that Republicans would unseat the governor. Right now, no one stepped forward, although it looks like John Kennedy is testing the waters. In a red state, it would appear by nature Governor Edwards would be vulnerable.
Well, I mean, I guess on paper it would look like that, but the thing is, I think his best opportunity to win re-election is just to do a good job as governor, is to do his job every day. And that's what he's focused on doing. People recognize that he didn't create the budget problems that we face, and he's working really hard to try and solve them. He's here mm-hmm. in the state, focused on the state, unlike his predecessor. You know, he's traveling around, meeting with people. He's accessible. And he's honest with the people of Louisiana. They may not always agree with what he has to say, but I think people appreciate his candidness. And he's working really hard, and I think that the voters of Louisiana appreciate that.
Okay. Darryl, is John Kennedy the likely challenger?
I don't know, Jim. Look, that's why, how are you going to predict the guy can win or lose? And he doesn't have a formidable candidate against him. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, the voters are going to decide who's going to be the governor. If John Bell is doing a good job, he's making inroads into the community, especially with the Republican, top of the Republican Party. If those individuals decide to support him again, he's going to be tough to beat like anything else.
All right. Well, thank you, Darryl Glasper. Thank you, Trey Orso. And we look forward to hearing from both of you again soon. We're joined now by Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. And the fiscal cliff looms on June 30th. And in Sunday's Advocate, in a story by Mark's colleague Tyler Bridges, Kenny Habert, a Republican from St. Francisville, says this: it just boils down to simple politics. The Republicans don't want John Bell to have a win. The real losers are Louisiana citizens. We have to get beyond politics and solve the problems. What do you make of this? This is a GOP member of the House speaking quite candidly and saying that some of his mates are not on board because they're trying to hurt the governor. What do you think of this, Mark Ballard?
Well, what's most interesting about that is that that Representative Havard, who's from up in the St. Francisville, Jackson area, said on the record what has been said over and over again around the state capitol. And I think there is an element of politics involved in what is slowing up the efforts to try to come to some sort of an accommodation to deal with the fiscal cliff.
Well, we have this 5 months and 11 days away, and today was the day that the governor gave as a deadline, although he did say it would be a flexible deadline. But there doesn't appear to be any move imminent as far as a plan being delivered to him by the GOP-dominated legislature. What's going on with this?
Well, I don't think they have a plan. I've been checking around with them and trying to keep up with it, and essentially, they don't have a group of policies that they think that they can get around. They're still working out the numbers and trying to figure out which way to go. So, it's now Monday. The governor will be releasing his budget on Monday. He was hoping to have, you know, the House Republicans come up with their ideas, you know, their counter proposals, and then kind of be it in there. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
And you noted in a story on Tuesday that this is a session that will involve many other matters. And so we're going to have all kinds of bills filed that have nothing to do with the budget.
Yeah, because of the Constitution that we passed, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the constitutional amendment, that the legislature can only deal with most fiscal matters, you know, particularly those that would raise revenues on odd number years. Even number years, they don't deal with that. All they can do is pass the budget, and then they deal with all these other multitude of issues, and they're starting to percolate up right now. So my guess is we'll have a special session to deal with this fiscal cliff, and then come back in with the general session in which they're all sorts of things that are going to be coming, like bringing riverboat casinos on land.
Yeah, that's something you reported on this week, and that would be an interesting development.
It seems to have a lot of support. They seem to think that that it's not going to be nearly as vitriolic as it was back in the 90s, the 80s and 90s, when they when the legislatures and governments then first passed the ability to open casinos. This is being pushed primarily by the casino industry that are saying, look, we haven't really changed. There have been some minor things here and there, but we haven't really changed the laws since 1991, and we need to upgrade our laws so that we can remain competitive with Mississippi, and now Oklahoma has some gambling that's drawing away folks that had from Texas that had been coming to Shreveport. So they're the ones that are behind this push of trying to come up with different ways to make Louisiana casinos more competitive. It's being packaged as kind of, you know, an economic development thing.
Well, a listener asks about your thoughts about LSU closing today. When I said Mark's a Capital Bureau chief, that's Capital with an O-L, not an A-L, but you know what's going on, and the old war school is not open for business today.
Well, apparently at LSU and Southern had the same issues, is that during the cold, the deep freeze, if you will, that some pipes burst, and they need to kind of take care of that before they open up the schools. At least that's what they're saying.
Now, a story that involves LSU this week that was a big story a few days ago in The Advocate. Judge dismisses LSU firing suit, rules professor's vulgar language not protected by First Amendment. A listener asks if this ruling by federal judge Shelley Dick would mean that Coach O or some of the other athletic coaches could be fired for cause by using profanity. That seems an interesting precedent has been set.
Well, yeah, it does. It does. And I think that remains to be seen what would happen if that would be. Coach O, I guess, yes, he is hired by LSU. Most of his money comes from the Tiger Athletic Foundation, so...
Yeah, but for example, Les Miles is making $133,000 a month not to coach for the next 8 years. If it could be proved that he used profanity at some point, and I know of one instance where he did it publicly at Bayou Bash using the F word, perhaps LSU could say we don't have to pay the guy.
Well, there you go. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Because he used profanity. What is the difference between a coach using a word like that and a professor?
In my mind, it has to do with the fact that the professors are talking to our children, you know, as opposed to the coaches who are talking to athletes.
athletes are not children?
Yeah, it's the same thing, I guess. But
but it is an interesting precedent that has been set that LSU could potentially fire a coach for cause for using profanity.
Well, I wonder what it'll do in the journalism school.
Well, yeah, I can remember any number of professors I had who would have been fired in journalism and in other endeavors at LSU if that were the barometer, whether or not they used profanity in the classroom. But that's a subject for another show, but it is an interesting story. Mark, today at 10 o'clock, right after the show, there will be services at Broadmoor United Methodist for Buckskin Bill Black, and your wife Donna Britt worked with him for many years, and certainly this man was an icon in the community of note for decades.
For decades, I can't. Now, I didn't grow up in Baton Rouge, but I can't tell you the number of people who, you know, our age, who recall Buckskin Bill and you know, did the morning march and watched him every day, and he had a very big impact on Baton Rouge area for sure.
And you're a well-known journalism person. Those of us who read the paper and know of your work know you well, but when you go out on the town with your wife, I suspect you're invisible, Mark Ballard.
Yes, pretty much I'm known as Mr. Britt, so that is true. It's, you know, television reaches a large audience. It's, you know, they go into, at Channel 9, they go into more homes than on a per capita basis than in any other market in the country. And so people, you know, view a lot of the television reporters as you know, parts of the family.
Very much so. Some of these national programs like Morning Joe reach about 400,000 viewers nationally. On a given night, WAFB may reach 100,000 in its viewing area. But Mark Ballard, always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll call on you next week, and we'll be back again Monday, same time, same place. Hope you have a great weekend. And for Ali Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.